What is up? Welcome to N-Express, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am one of your hosts, and I'm Tim Mason. I am now super host. My New Year's resolution was to destroy all other hosts, absorbing their power, and becoming super host. And so far, I've been fairly successful. Ricky D is gone. I am him now. But I have yet to get to Patrick Murphy, who is with me.
I'm pretty good at, like, withstanding a siege, Tim. I'm just going to let you know, this could take years and cost thousands of lives.
But to become super host, I will do it.
Are you looking to be the best host that ever was?
Oh, are we going straight in, Patrick, with that easy segue? Too easy. I'm walking right past it. I'm just going to walk right past it. All right. So, yeah, you probably didn't expect 2020 to start so weird, but you're welcome. Welcome back to N-Express. And we've been away for a little while celebrating various holidays and being with family. Rick is unfortunately away taking care of the site because he is the editor-in-chief, so he has a lot of additional responsibilities that thankfully Patrick and I do not have.
Yes, but thank God.
But he will be missed, especially since we are doing our most anticipated games of 2020, which will be interesting, Patrick, because Nintendo has announced next to nothing.
It's now I don't have any doom and gloom scenario where I think this is going to be a weak year. I absolutely do not think that's going to be the case. We just don't know what's coming yet, and of course,
exactly,
you know,
it's blind.
I think we'll get a better idea, you know, in the coming weeks. Nintendo usually does a January direct. It doesn't mean they always do, or they definitely will. But I'm pretty sure they'll want to clue people in. You know, there's one game announced so far, which, you know, for the next 3 months, I think, and that'll be on our list, obviously. But of most anticipated games. But well, yeah, it's shaping up to be. So far, it's a very vague year so far.
Yeah, there is a direct in the pipeline. It is just for a very specific series, and that series is Pokemon. I fully anticipate the announcement of Pokemon Home's release date, Pokemon Sleep's release date, and I'm expecting some wild area news. But Patrick, that doesn't apply to you because you no longer own Pokemon Sword and or Shield, whichever one you had. We got to talk about this.
Yeah, in between the time of the last podcast and now this podcast, I actually did purchase Pokemon Sword, and I no longer am the owner of Pokemon Sword.
So what is up with that?
I mean, obviously, as you know, my Pokemon experience isn't very widespread. I played about half of Yellow, and then I played all of Sun and Moon. I skipped all of those other Pokemons and went then to Sun and Moon, and then I played Let's Go Pikachu. So that was the extent of my Pokemon experience. I haven't even played any of the offshoots, really. So, yeah, so I figured I'd pick up Pokemon Sword to see if I could, you know, how it stacks up to my very, very little experience in the games. And I can't say that I actively disliked the game or anything like that, and certainly not for the reasons that everybody else, you know, all the Pokemon fans were saying they didn't really like the game, if they were saying that indeed. It's just that I couldn't get into it, Tim. I couldn't get into that Pokemon formula. And as soon as I reached a roadblock, which was on the fourth gym, I just didn't have any. I believe that I was supposed to be fighting the fighting type, the fighting gym leader. I didn't have any of the right Pokemon to take them on. And I really didn't feel like going out and catching any Pokemon. And I thought, okay, that's pretty much it. I'm done with this game. You know, I just didn't care to grind. I guess I don't. There's a lot of things that don't really stick for me in the typical Pokemon formula. Like, if you remember way back when we did Sun and Moon and reviewed Sun and Moon, I think I said that I caught maybe 40 to 50 Pokemon during the entire game. Like, I pretty much caught most of them at the beginning of the game because it was fresh, and then I just stopped because I just didn't care for the fighting Pokemon or sorry, catching Pokemon mechanic. I don't like to fight them to catch them, and that carried over. I still don't like that mechanic. And so when I finally reached the wild area, you know, there were a couple times where I had to go through the wild area to get where I needed to go. I ran all the way through. I in no way was even tempted for a second to catch Pokemon. Instead, I thought to myself, I don't want to be here. I'm just going to run through to the next area where I need to go. There was just nothing alluring to me about catching Pokemon in this game. I have to believe it's mainly down to I don't like fighting Pokemon to catch them. Which is really bizarre. I'm not saying I don't have a good reason for this. Like, I can't back it up. It's just a total feel thing. But I was way more inspired to catch Pokemon in the Let's Go Pikachu. I think I caught over 200 or something in that game. And I loved catching Pokemon in that game. I do not like pe catching Pokemon in the main series. And that's one th if you don't like catching Pokemon, it's kind of like, why are you playing this in the first place, right?
That is a pretty good reason to not play the game, since that's, even if you're playing really casually, which I'm assuming you were, that's still an integral experience. You can't really avoid it.
Yeah, and I think I caught about 50 or so. Again, it was pretty front loaded. I played about 8 hours, and most of that catching was probably done within the first 3 hours or so, or 4 hours at the most. And after that, I was just I did fight everybody because I wanted to, get my guys leveled up for gyms and stuff. So I was fighting all the trainers that I would come across, and I liked exploring the towns. I thought that was fun finding the little secret items or there was one like little puzzle thing that's with a Stonehenge type place, like a village that had sort of rocks that were Stonehenge type rocks. I enjoyed like tracking down that little puzzle and the clues and all that kind of stuff. I can't say like again, I thought the world was fine. I liked the look of the world and I mean the inside people's apartments is pretty bland when you see the same thing over and over again. But otherwise, I liked the look of everything. It just, I, whatever, for whatever reason, I wasn't feeling it. I didn't want to go catch the fairy Pokemon or whatever that I was going to need to actually take on this fighting gym. I took them out once and I got destroyed, like their first Pokemon, and I was leveled up, right?
I'm kind of shocked by that. I mean, some of the gym leaders are a little bit more challenging in this game, as opposed to previous entries. But you didn't have a flying Pokemon either?
I did have a flying Pokemon, but I guess it wasn't very strong enough to take on all of them. So I started with the fire type, which was the what was that thing? That was the cat? No,
No, that's
the
Sun
rabbit. The
Moon.
rabbit. It was the rabbit, and it had evolved. It had completely evolved, by the way. Like to its final, or
So you
mimic.
had Cinderace, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And didn't do any. The fire type didn't do much. Like, and I thought that was going to be usually my star Pokemon in the other game, Sun and Moon. The Incineroar was my ace in the hole, right? Like he could almost take down everything by himself, but sometimes you need a little bit of help. In this case, like the rabbit got destroyed immediately. Their first Pokemon destroyed like half my crew, like just wiped them out. Just wiped them out. Like it wasn't even close. So I had the rabbit, the fire rabbit. I had Pikachu because they gave me Pikachu because I owned previously. It saw data from Let's Go Pikachu, and I ran across some person that gave me a Pikachu because of that. And I had Pikachu kind of, he was pretty leveled up too. And I had a grass type. It was this bulbous kind of something that I caught early on that evolved. It evolved into some bulbous plant thing. I don't remember what it was called.
Caldegoss.
Could have been. It was a big white bulb
Yep.
head. Yeah, okay. So that was my plant, and then I had a water. It was the turtle something that evolved into sort of a more like a Galapagos turtle with teeth.
Dreadnought, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. Yep. I'm glad you know the names. God, I'm glad
I'll
I'm
be
talking
here
to
all
you on this,
day.
Tim. So I had him as my water, and then I had some bird that I oh I had Sirfetch'd. Or Farfetch'd? Farfetch'd. I had Farfetch'd because he hadn't evolved. I was assuming he was going to evolve into Sirfetch'd, but I never got to that point. So I had Farfetch'd as kind of a fighting. He was a fighting type, if I remember
Yeah,
right.
he was.
And then I had a flying one. It was one of the birds that I caught early on again, and he had evolved into some bigger bird.
So you had Corvus Squire, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that was the one. Yep, there you go. So yeah, that was my team. I thought it was a pretty well balanced team, and then they got destroyed. And I was basically so my starter Pokemon was a couple levels, at least a couple levels above the trainer that I was fighting. And then my other Pokemon were either right around those levels or maybe one or two below at the most. At the one or two below at the most. But everybody was pretty solid. I didn't think I'd get destroyed like that. And yeah, I didn't really feel like grinding levels out to sort of raise. And I looked up, what the weaknesses for fighting were, and it turns out it's fairy and flying. And I only had the one flying guy, and he just wasn't really effective on too much. Like I couldn't just take out that guy's entire team with my flying Pokemon. I was gonna need more. That's what it felt like to me because they were destroying. Like I did finally get to my flying Pokemon, and he didn't wipe everybody out. He didn't even get close. I think I only got one of the other guy's Pokemon before my flying type also got destroyed. So yeah, that was it. I hit a roadblock, and it seemed like too much of a roadblock. If it had been a little one where I almost beat him and then just had to bump things up a little bit, I probably would have stuck in it and at least gone to the next gym. But instead, it was a complete destruction, and I really didn't feel like grinding because once you beat all the trainers, there's no more trainers to beat. You got to go out and grind and fight Pokemon, and I don't like
What's
fighting
just,
the Pokemon.
did you do any of the raids?
No, I never did a raid. No.
So when you do raids, you're given these candies.
Yeah, rare candies that can
No,
level you up.
they're not rare candies, they're experience candies. So you don't have to grind in this game at all if you're doing raids, even casually. You can just use those and boost your Pokemon really quickly. And it gives you all the stats that you would otherwise receive. So this game essentially removed the grind entirely if you're willing to go do
Raids,
a couple of raids.
which is kind of like grinding. See, I never
I
cooked,
mean,
I never camped, I never cooked, I never did raids. I just wasn't
oh, well,
interested in doing any of those things.
camping also raises your experience, so they shortened the grind there too.
Oh man, but what's the, I don't know, I just didn't feel like doing any of that stuff. I guess I mean, in general, like the game started off kind of slow for me, and I was never really feeling it like I did. I never felt this like great sense of fun like I did with Let's Go Pikachu, which now I can honestly say is my favorite Pokemon game. And I would probably buy another Let's Go game. This is going to probably just sound absolutely terrible to Pokemon fans, but I think Pokemon Sword pretty much convinced me that I'm never going to play another mainstream Pokemon game. I'm just not into it. I'm not into the way that it's all set up and works.
Do you just not, are you not super into traditional JRPGs?
It
Out of
depends on the
curiosity?
JRPG. I mean, I liked what was it? Octopath Traveler, and I can grind if I feel like I'm enjoying the combat mechanics. Like I don't mind grinding if I enjoy, and I really enjoyed the combat in Octopath. And I liked Xenoblade Chronicles X. I liked grinding in that game quite a bit, although I guess that's not a traditional one. That's not turn-based. But yeah, I can if I enjoy the combat, and I just wasn't. I've never really felt especially the battling Pokemon combat. As evidence, even in Sun and Moon, I didn't. But I didn't need to go battle Pokemon or grind really in that game. I just fought all the trainers, and if as long as I fought all the trainers, I was able to get through the entire game that way. I didn't have to go out and catch Pokemon or battle Pokemon for experience or grind or anything like that. I kept my original team. I never even like tried to get more powerful Pokemon. I mean, in Sun and Moon, maybe that's one of the easiest games out there, but I pretty much kept all, once I had a couple was a few hours in and I had got some decent Pokemon, I just kept them through the entire game and I never switched them out. And I was able to beat every gym. And I enjoyed that game. I'm very casual Pokemon, and this isn't a knock on Sword at all. Like, I'm not trying to knock this game. I just couldn't get into it.
You're just not into the Pokemon formula,
Yeah.
which, Patrick, you should avoid all other Pokemon games prior to this. If this one was too much grinding for you, I think this game exists with the assumption that you are going to go into the wild area. And if you had been doing some raids to get candy, you could have leveled up. The game's really fun in that at any point throughout my journey, I could grab a totally new Pokemon at any level and boost it to my team's level without effort. I didn't have to grind. I could just make a snap decision that I wanted someone on my team. So if I did come up to a gym leader that I wasn't well equipped for, I could just quickly equip myself. And
That's a nice feature. I obviously wasn't even aware of that feature, so.
Yeah, I wonder if that would have changed anything.
I don't think it would have changed my kind of apathy towards the general mechanics of the game. You know, I don't think it would have changed much. It might have made me continue to go on, and I may have actually beat the game because of that. But I'm not sure that I would have really enjoyed. I certainly wouldn't have enjoyed catching Pokemon. I just still didn't in this game. Again, there's just something I kind of like. It feels, even though it kind of doesn't make sense. Catching Pokemon in the Let's Go games feels more interactive to me than it does in these main series games, which is why I just loved catching them in those games.
I can kind of see where you're coming from, and I'm guessing if I honestly had to take a wild stab at this, I would say that had Let's Go not come out, you would have enjoyed this about as much as Sun and Moon, but I'm guessing Let's Go was just your optimum Pokemon experience. That's how you like to experience Pokemon, and I'm right there with you. I mean, not in the sense that I would ever sell these games back because I adore them, but in the sense that, like, I love Let's Go as a spin-off that I hope turns into a franchise, and I would be thrilled beyond reason if they announced a sequel to Let's Go. So I totally get where you're coming from. It is a different style of play, but it's still a great style of play, and gave me a totally different appreciation for, like, how the game was approached, if that makes sense. Like, it's so casual and fun, and it's not strategy heavy at all. It's just so, it's kind of like Animal Crossing. There's something just really, really, I don't know, warming about the repetition and the casual nature of it. But there's also a lot of, like, excitement in the moment-to-moment catching Pokemon, largely because of that, like, the Pokeball, or using a Joy-Con, it feels like you're catching something, and it's always thrilling. So I don't know. I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I like that little bit of skill trying to match the little, you know, circle that's closing in, and all the shrinking circle. And I don't know. Again, I'm sure I sound completely lame to Pokemon, to other Pokemon fans out there. But yeah, if there's another Let's Go, I'll pick that up. I won't hesitate to pick that up because I really, really had a great time playing Let's Go. And yeah, I just can't. For me, it's just about the mechanics of Pokemon, the main series, and I just can't get into them. Again, not a knock on the game. It was just more me than anything else. But I gave it a shot, and yeah, now I know. I've played a few Pokemon games now, and now I know I probably won't go back to the main series again. In fact, I pretty much do know that I won't go back to the main series again. But yeah, if there's another Let's Go, I'm all for it. Take that, yeah. Pokemon fans. Let's Go, Pikachu is the best game in the franchise.
Okay, well, send your hate mail to Patrick. I don't agree with that sentiment one bit, but I do really appreciate Let's Go, and I do think it was a super fun spinoff, and I do hope that that style of play does return in the future. Not main series, but I would love just a tangential series, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that'd be really fun.
I think both types can exist. You know, that type can exist for the player like me. I really do look at Pokemon as a very casual thing, and I guess they're not really that casual. I don't know. I thought Sun and Moon was fairly casual, but I look at it as a casual thing. That's what I want out of those games, I guess, and Let's Go gave me that, and this one really didn't. Yeah, just didn't capture my imagination. That's all.
Well, I can appreciate that you tried. And I think that I'm enough Pokemon fan for the show as is.
I did catch a Trubbish, though. I caught a Trubbish, and that's
it. Well, I'm kind of sad that you didn't go all the way, because Garbodor, your guy, has a special form at the very end of the game. If you make it there, you can go hunting for a Gigantamax Garbodor.
I would have liked to have seen a giant pile of garbage.
Patrick, his bag rips open.
That's classic. Classic.
It's amazing.
I am a little disappointed I never got to catch Mr. Rhyme, or Mr. Mime involved.
Very late in the game.
Oh, okay. All right. That's too bad. That's my only regret, not seeing the giant bag of garbage and Mr. Rhyme. Two regrets.
Well, you can't win them all, but let's hope that 2020 can. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the real topic of our show, which is a discussion of our most anticipated titles of 2020. So don't go anywhere.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all.
It's you and me. I know it's my destiny.
Pokemon,
oh, you're my best friend.
In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all.
Our hearts so true. Our courage will pull us through. You teach me.
Welcome back to N-Express. We are back with our main event, more Pokemon. Just kidding. We're going to talk about the games that we are looking forward to in 2020. There aren't too many announced. So we have a couple of speculative titles. We have a couple of firm titles that we're looking forward to. But it should be a good year. I'm at this point, Patrick, you're probably with me. The Switch has maintained momentum for three consecutive years, 2017, 18, and 19. I don't think there's any doubt at this point that they're going to do it again in 2020, especially since they just launched a handheld-only version of the Switch. Something tells me they've got a pretty solid lineup. We just don't know exactly what it is, but we know a couple of titles.
Yeah, I have high hopes for this year. Just like, you know, I think they've really come through. 2018, I remember, was a little bit slower than 2017, but 2017 was an amazing year, so we shouldn't really like try to compare every year to that. I thought 2019 was a very solid year, and I didn't even like some of the main titles. You know, as we just discussed, like there were a couple of them between Astral Chain and Pokemon, and you know, a few others here and there that I didn't think were as outstanding as you know they could have been, like Link's Awakening remake. I still thought they had a really really good solid year. I mean, Fire Emblem was enough for me, and then I didn't buy Mario Maker 2, but I'm, you know, I know what Mario Maker is like, and I'm, that's a, just a great game to release. Yeah, the 2019 was a great year, I think, a very, very solid year for Nintendo and the Switch in general. Lots of indies, too, that I enjoyed playing. So I'm looking forward to 2020. I think you're right. I don't think they're going to slow the momentum at all. That would be a really, really bad thing to do when you've got new consoles coming out this fall. So I think Nintendo's going to have some pretty good stuff lined up. Obviously, we know there's some big guns that are going to be delayed past this year. One big gun in particular. But besides that...
Would you say one big arm cannon? Yeah,
yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. But great. Like, we need a 2021, too. So, or 2022, depending on how that works out.
How far behind Metroid Prime 4 is, yeah.
But I think this I'm expecting some nice little surprises, some things to be revealed that are done or close to done, and some stuff that we'd never heard of before that they've been working on. I just refuse to believe that they've got nothing planned for this year. And right now they've been so quiet about what 2020 is going to have in it that I'm looking forward to what they pop out. But regardless, I think we still have a pretty decent list, and there's going to be a lot of great indies that come out as well for the Switch. So
undoubtedly, and I think one of your most anticipated titles is an indie game and a sequel to a game that I know you love more than life itself.
Oh, boy. I can't wait for this one. Now, that doesn't have a firm date on it. I know there's a placeholder date of, like, July 14th, I think, or something like that. But, man, I'm pretty sure Silksong is going to come out in 2020. You know, it's got a release date on July 14th, supposedly. But yeah, Silksong, as I can't wait. I mean, when I look at my Switch titles that I put the most hours into, I've got Breath of the Wild, Fire Emblem, Three Houses, and then I've got Hollow Knight. And it's like, of course I can't wait for Silksong. Like, of course. And I'm scared by that game. I'm simultaneously, like, it's my most highly anticipated game of the year so far. And I'm scared by it because I feel like they're going to try to make it harder than Hollow Knight was. And Hollow Knight's a pretty difficult game for anybody that played it. But I loved that game. The design of that game is so impeccable to me. Everything about it, I've played through it multiple times, to varying degrees. I've 100%ed it. Well, no, I've never 100%ed it because I never beat the. No, I'm sorry. Hollow Knight counts percentages in a weird way. I think 112% is the most you can get. I'm at like 108, I believe. That's the best I've been able to do. I can't do it.
What an underachiever.
I know. There's like a boss thing at the end, like one of the little side things is you can do a big boss run. It's their Gods and Monsters or whatever. It used to be called Gods and Monsters. But it was one of their packs that they added on, their DLC, free DLC packs, I might add. And it's just brutal. I'm not. I like their bosses are hard enough. Getting through one of them is always a tough challenge for me. I'm not going to do a run of them. And so yeah, I was never going to be able to do that. But I was pretty happy with the 108%. And I did it a couple of times, and I look forward to. I'll probably play more Hollow Knight in anticipation of that game the closer it gets to release. But Silksong just looks amazing, and they showed off new footage down at the Australian PAX. They had a lot of people playing it, including a certain Hollow Knight YouTuber named Mossbag, who is probably the best Hollow Knight YouTuber. I've watched all that guy's stuff. He's funny. He's a little flippant about it sometimes, and he's really goes in depth with the lore. I never would have thought I would be watching videos about lore, but Mossbag does a great job with the lore of Hollow Knight, and I've always enjoyed his videos. They're highly entertaining. So they showed off that footage that was at E3, and then they also had more down at Australian PAX, and they're still designing more enemies, and they're adding more to the soundtrack, and this is looking to be bigger than Hollow Knight was, which is incredible because Hollow Knight is a massive game. It was a 40-hour Metroidvania for me. Like that's for an indie game. Like,
Yeah.
that's crazy. So yeah, that Hollow Knight Silksong, I can't wait to play as Hornet, and she's got a completely new move set, so it won't even feel like a, just a typical sequel because Hornet moves in such different ways and has different abilities. It's going to change the strategy on a lot of stuff, and it looks like they're looking for a slightly faster paced action game, but still having tons of their quirky, weird, tough bosses and learning all the moves. And yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to explore that world and uncover all the little secrets because Hollow Knight had a ton, and I expect Silksong will have as many, if not more. Can't wait. Can't wait for that game.
Yeah, that one seems like it'll be pretty cool. At some point, I will play Hollow Knight, I promise you, and then I'll probably play Silksong. It looks pretty fun, and as far as Metroidvania goes, it looks not only super distinct, but super, super well crafted. So I do appreciate that title, and I'm happy it's getting a proper sequel and not just DLC. And I'm glad they had enough there, and I'm not surprised they had enough there. They seem like very creative people, but for all the time you put into Silksong, I can guarantee you, maybe you'll be with me, one of the big ones for me is in March, Animal Crossing, it's finally going to be here.
That's right.
So,
I mean, how could we avoid Animal Crossing? Every time a new Animal Crossing comes out, I tell myself, you know what? I've played Animal Crossing. I don't really need the new Animal Crossing. But then I pick it up, and that game hypnotizes people, I think.
yeah.
Those games, just like you can't stop playing them for however many months it takes to do everything. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Now, why is that? Is that your biggest game of the most anticipated game of the year?
There's one. Well, when we get to the more speculative
Okay.
discussion of games, there will be another one that is heavily speculated and rumored that I'm very
Yes.
excited about. But the Animal Crossing is coming out in 2020. Between that and everything that I have yet to play from 2019 and earlier, I know that I have a full year and I'm not dreading the year at all. I'm pretty sure Animal Crossing will keep me entertained for months on end.
Now
And
what?
then.
What are you looking forward to most, Tim, about that game? Like, as far as changes that go, what is, other than it just being an Animal Crossing game, which are always super, super pleasant to play and relaxing, like, what do you think is gonna, this new one's gonna really add? Like, what makes it so anticipated?
Well, this one, as everyone knows, New Horizons, it has the island feature. It's going to start us off with even less than ever before. So the beginning of the game is going to be what I'm assuming is a totally new experience. I haven't played it, so I can't really say, but I don't think that Nintendo are overselling this. Nintendo tends to undersell, and I'm guessing that this is going to feel like an entirely new Animal Crossing just from the start. It might get to the more traditional Animal Crossing that we're used to with a very established town, but I'm assuming we're going to have to build that town, Patrick, and that's pretty crazy. They're giving us more responsibility than just being a town's mayor. We have to essentially develop a desert island, and that's such a cool concept. It's so different and so novel, and I think it'll suit the franchise really, really well while being very distinct, unique, and fun, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I think the building road stuff and really like doing some of the town planning will be kind of cool, because you got a little taste of that in New Leaf. You know,
yeah.
you could put up certain structures in certain places, and that was fun. But I like the idea that you're sort of mapping out the town in a way. And the island feature, like I'm looking forward to seeing what it kind of has to offer, like, you know, the places that you can visit and stuff like that. And obviously they're putting an emphasis on friends coming in as well. And so we'll see like what happens with that.
I'm not crazy about playing games with my friends at all. Just kidding. It's a joke.
I may actually have to, I did buy the online for, you know, for some dumb reason.
Wait, you don't use it super frequently?
You know what I bought it for? I bought the online just for, because when Nintendo gave me Luigi's Mansion 3, I needed to be able to test out the online features. That is the only, that's the reason I finally broke down and bought online, Nintendo Online.
That is shocking to me.
And I've never used it since. So <what? laughs> I need a reason to actually like have this subscription.
So
I bought a year subscription.
Had we wanted to trade in Pokemon, we wouldn't have been able to anyway, Patrick.
No, I have online.
Well, I guess we would have, thanks to Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, I
for
have
a short period.
Yeah, I have the subscription. I just only used it for Luigi's Mansion, and I still have it. And I'm like, oh, a new SNES game got released. Okay, well, I won't play that one.
you know, what is the price point again? It's $20 a year.
Super cheap. It was super cheap. I don't regret buying it because it's so cheap, and I was gonna do it anyway. And you know, I thought about it for Fire Emblem. They have a few online things, but I decided I don't really like the online stuff in Fire Emblem Three Houses, so I haven't really used it for that either. I just tried it out once for like 10 minutes, and I thought, no, I don't want all these people running around my school. I don't know who you are. I'm protective of my students. Yes,
that's for the best.
These are strangers. Stranger danger. Yeah, so I could have traded in Pokemon. I'm looking forward to at least maybe doing something in Animal Crossing where we can all show off our towns to each other. You know, maybe we can get the whole N-Express podcast doing that. So yeah, that's definitely, I'm definitely anticipating that one.
It'll be fun to see. One of the most exciting parts about Animal Crossing is I feel like I play those games and I start with, like, you know, you get your hands on a couple of themes, so you build those themes into your house. But for me, the late game tends to be, okay, now I'm going super heavy on one theme throughout my entire house, and I want to create this house and see if people can pick up on the theme and totally like get it when they come in. So in New Leaf, I know I didn't finish it ever, but I was slowly building what in my eyes looked like a very haunted mansion.
Oh, interesting.
That was like all I was going for. It's like, I think, you walk in and I'm like, this is really creepy and abandoned looking. But then there is some really eerie details, like a very unfinished basement with some funny little suggestive elements.
So I always enjoyed collecting. I was kind of a hoarder, but I would have sort of themes. So I remember in New Leaf, I'm not much of a decorator, so I never spent any real time decorating my house. But I would collect all the Nintendo items, and they were in my basement set up in like a Nintendo theme park.
Every true fan had their Nintendo room, at least one.
There was the Mario room, and then up top I had like the sci-fi, so it had Star Fox, Metroid stuff, and then I had like this sort of medieval room where all my Zelda things were. And so that's how I kind of segregated out my stuff. Up in my attic was probably closer to what I am like personally, what I would like my house to look like personally. That was what my attic looked like. It had a telescope and these old chests And it had like it had a bunch of like little relics, like these little things that were like antiques sitting around. Just kind of like, and it had a nice little roll top desk because that way, you know, I could write there. And it had just kind of a nice classic feel that I kind of would have liked. It kind of, I suppose, looked like, you know, not a library, but or a museum, but something along, you know, like, did you see Knives Out? It would have fit perfectly in the
Oh
mansion.
my gosh, that
It
was
would
maybe my movie of the year.
have fit in that mansion, my normal, like, the room that I had in my attic, which, like I say, is probably the closest to what would have been my own personal dream room. But yeah, otherwise with Animal Crossing, I'm big into less into the house designing and more into obviously just the exploring. I love populating the museum and the aquarium and the bug, whatever that's called, the bugarium. What are those called? So I love just sort of the exploration aspect of it, and that's what I'm looking forward to again with this one. It's always this sort of idea of coming to a new land and figuring out its secrets. That's why one of these days when they do an Animal Crossing that has some sort of dark, mysterious past, I'll be totally into that when it's Twin Peaks. But for now, I kind of just like, I like digging stuff up, and I don't really care about my neighbors, which ones move in and which ones don't. But, you know, sometimes there might be a penguin or two that I like, and I try to keep them around and with some gifts. But for the most part, I just sort of wander around and do my own thing. I'm a loner, Tim. Even in Animal Crossing.
That's awesome. I also go for the penguins.
They're cool.
I
They're like pilots,
yeah.
right?
Might say cool as ice.
That's right. Nice.
Yeah, so beyond Animal Crossing and Silk Song, what else are you looking forward to, Patrick?
All right, I would say my number two, at least of ones that we know are coming out this year, I think Sports Story, which we talked a little bit after the Nintendo Direct or the indie showcase, I guess. But I loved Golf Story so much. Those guys' sense of humor from Golf Story, and as someone who plays golf, like there were so many inside golf jokes in that. It was amazing. Like the writing in that game was top notch. And as a sports lover in general, somebody who follows pretty much almost every sport around the world. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't like brag too much, but I follow a lot of sports. I am really hoping that they bring that same level of care and attention and attention to detail into the writing for Sports Story, and that they have a lot of funny humor about mixing sports together. Just the that game just looked kind of funky. Those game the Golf Story had such a great vibe to it. I'm hoping it's similar with this one. Just a lot of weirdness, weird sense of humor. I love the whole thing in Golf Story with his you know, ex-girlfriend and their whole relationship, or the two TV announcer guys. Like all that stuff was great. They created this weird little world, and it all revolved around golf. Well, I hope they can do the same thing where they revolve it around all these different sports and find a way just to encompass sports. Quirky sports stuff as a whole, because sports are weird. And if they can, all sports have their weirdness in them. And if you're a fan of baseball, you especially know baseball players are weird. There's lots of superstition in baseball, and there's just lots of weird stuff that's happened in baseball. Football's got similar stuff. All sports have these weird little eccentricities that I'd love to see these guys take advantage of in a nice little role-playing game that has good, like, I like the mechanics in Golf Story, the golf mechanics, simple as they were very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do for the playing mechanics, the gameplay mechanics of all these different sports.
If they can continue on the success of Golf Story, I will not be surprised if in a year's time we're saying this is one of the best indie games of the year, if not one of the best games of the year, just on how well received Golf Story was.
Which you still have not played.
I haven't played it yet.
Oh my God. No Hollow Knight, no Golf Story.
I kind of get off on people telling me to play games
I
and
know.
then just lording it over them that
Spite.
I'm playing Pokemon again.
Spite is one of the most powerful forces in the universe, Tim, and I can understand your point of view on that one.
I wear it well.
Yeah, so that's for me. I can't wait for that one. What do you Now, after Animal Crossing, as far as we start getting into announced games, what are you looking forward to next?
Well, you see, Patrick, back in the days of the Wii, there was notoriously no M-rated games. But then that all changed.
There were some.
As a couple of very select games came out. But the best one of all of those took my heart. And I've been waiting for the third in the series ever since. No More Heroes 3 is finally happening. I've been waiting ages for it. And I cannot wait to see what sort of shenanigans Travis Touchdown's about to get into. And every single trailer has absolutely reminded me why I love the franchise so much. So that's pretty high on my two playlist. That'll be a day one purchase.
Yeah,
can't wait.
A weird trailer from the Game Awards, but it was an enticing one.
In the best possible way. Like, how do you take a Gonzo franchise and up the ante and make it more bonkers than before? Of course, you take it to outer space, Patrick. What else? And it's just, it's perfect.
I love the premise. The premise is great. I hope the gameplay holds up. So you didn't play the No More Heroes for Switch yet, did you?
No, I have not played Travis Strikes Again. I probably will. That's one of my two play games. And once we get a firm date on No More Heroes 3, I'll have my deadline. And I'm sure I'll beat it well in advance of that, so I'm not too touchdowned out.
Yeah, I hated that game. But of course, it's nothing like a traditional No More Heroes game either. Like, it was just a top-down hack and slash that didn't really work for me. Like, it was so boring. But I hated it because it was boring, mostly. But maybe you might find some more value in it, but it wasn't a No More Heroes game, so it has not lessened my anticipation for No More Heroes 3, which we should say is announced for 2020 on Nintendo's website. So if you go to the Switch games, like...
The trailer said 2020.
Yep.
And Travis sarcastically said, good luck, and it was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. So who knows? It could get rolled over, or it could be late in the year, but right now, at least on Nintendo's own website, the release date is for 2020. So yeah, I think that one's going to be cool as well. I liked No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 quite a bit. So obviously, they were two really, really good Wii games, and it'll be interesting to see what he can come up with for this third one to sort of take advantage of the Switch's unique features.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will have a ton of fun. He seems like someone, Suda that is, it seems like someone who just has a ton of fun playing with all of the bells and whistles of a console, and that's why he was so interested in the Wii. And he liked the concept of the Wii U, but he just never got around to it. I'm glad that he's taking advantage of the Switch, and I think that No More Heroes will be right at home on it.
Do you think it'll be a pretty traditional like experience? Do you think it'll be very similar to the other two?
I think it will likely follow the exact same formula. The majority of the game will be a fun action hack and slash with motion controls. I would wager they'll continue since the Switch should be able to do them no problem.
Mm-hmm.
If not better than the Wii.
Now, of course, in handheld, you know, do you think he'll basically consider handheld when he considers motion control? Because obviously you don't want to take your Joy-Cons off and...
Yeah, and you also don't want to swing your Switch around.
No.
So maybe he will, but I can't remember if you can play No More Heroes with a button layout, because I feel like you would be detracting from the game if you were to do it that way. Maybe you could, but I'm sure he'll consider it, or at least Nintendo will urge him to consider it.
I think he has to, at least a little bit. You got to figure out other ways for people to at least get through the game on handheld, because obviously the handheld is a big draw here, so you can't be like shaking your Switch up and down to recharge your laser sword, your katana or whatever that's called.
Your beam katana, yeah.
Beam katana, yeah. So, yeah, he's got to at least come up with alternative ways in case people don't want to play that way. But at least my hope is that at least when you are playing with it docked, that you can play sort of a traditional, like the Wii did, with Joy-Con in one hand and swinging around and shaking.
Yeah, the game was so much better for it, mm-hmm. just because it felt like you were really finishing those guys off. It made it more exciting and compelling when you were getting those critical blows. And yeah, I think it will have motion controls. Handheld will probably have a more traditional playstyle, but that'll probably be fun on its own. I mean, there are plenty of hack and slash games that are fun, and I don't think the game will be hampered by that too much, but docked will be likely the way to play it. And yeah, really looking forward to this.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Now,
yeah.
I was going to ask you, as far as like, we're coming pretty close to the end of what we have confirmed. Now, there are a couple other ones out there. I wanted to say that like, I'm not really, I know a lot of people are looking forward to Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That it's, you know, getting its, there's a couple of remakes coming out. Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Xenoblade Chronicles. Are you really big into any of those? Are you, do you think that you're going to jump into one of those two games or both?
I will realistically play neither. Mm-hmm. It's not for a lack of a desire or lack of interest. I think especially Tokyo Mirage, I've heard such great things about, and it seems like such a fun, unique concept that I would love to give that game a try at some point. So I'm really happy that it was revived on the Switch, because I was realistically, I wasn't going to go back to my Wii U.
Right.
But I don't know that I will give it the time of day. Yeah, because I expect Nintendo to surprise us left and right. I don't know what's going to come, but we have some inklings, maybe. That was not a play on words. I do not anticipate Splatoon 3. If it happened, I can tell you where all my time's going, but that was not a play on words. I had to clarify that because I am a very professed Splatoon lover. Hey, Nintendo, make Splatoon 3 happen this year, since we're on the subject. That's not one of my most anticipated titles of the year, though, to anything that just happened.
Yeah,
Splatoon or otherwise. Yeah, what about you?
As far as I might try Xenoblade again. I had it for Wii, and I gave it a shot. And again, I came to a place where I didn't understand what they were asking of me. I guess I just didn't. My patience is very thin when it comes to RPGs. I will say that. So if I run into a roadblock for, like, I don't know, if it takes more than 15 minutes for me to figure out what's going wrong, like for me to understand what the problem is, and then I can determine whether or not I want to fix it. Yeah, I'm just done. Like, there's other stuff for me to play. I don't need that in my life. And nothing in the original Xenoblade, at least at the beginning, was so fun that I just absolutely had to figure out what was going on. There were some motion controls it wanted me to do in order to do some combo attack or some weird thing. It was still in the tutorial like stages that I gave up on that game, because it just wasn't working. It wasn't working for me at all. I tried multiple times to beat some boss, and some gigantic boss that you were, and it was trying to teach you some sort of technique, and whatever was happening just didn't work for me. Multiple times tried it, never worked. Gave up, and never regretted it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I might. But, you know, I might give it another shot. It's hard to say. I know everybody seems to love that game. And for me, I loved X. So I'm willing to give a Xenoblade game a try based on X, which seems to be other people's least favorite among those games. But it's my favorite by far.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm just contradictory. Yeah, as far as Tokyo Mirage, looks like a great game, or, you know, it has sort of a gorgeous look to it. I like the visual appeal, but again, I'm probably not looking at too many RPGs. It's going to take me, I'm not a big RPG guy, so it's going to take something pretty special to get me to go in on an RPG. Fire Emblem was my big thing, and, you know, the thing is, in April, there's supposed to be DLC for Fire Emblem Three Houses with a new story content and new characters to play, like completely new story, a separate campaign. So obviously that I'm highly anticipating, and that's probably going to be my RPG experience. You know, I'm working my way through the fourth and final campaign of the main story now. I started over, you know, I went all the way back to the beginning, and now I'm going to play the Black Eagle's house, and I'm going to play the Edelgard route where you actually side with her. And, yeah, so I don't know that I'm going to want another RPG experience.
Yeah, especially if tactics style gameplay is more appealing to you, if you kind of like the style of Fire Emblem, then turn-based select your move style play might not be for you in the end for any game, and that's totally fine. So I would always encourage people to just play what you like and don't worry about who says what is the best game of all time. Because if it's not for you, it's not for you, and don't sweat it. So, yeah, I will probably skip those just knowing myself and anticipating other titles that I think are more likely to draw my attention. Patrick, do you think that the Breath of the Wild sequel is coming out in 2020?
The logical part of me says no. Actually, the logical part of me is split. It makes sense on one hand because you have two new consoles coming out this fall, probably, right? Like, they're set for this fall. So
yeah,
if Nintendo wants to make a splash and keep people's, you know, keep the Switch, you know, in people's sight line, they releasing Breath of the Wild 2 would be a great way to do that. It would be a great way to make sure that people, I mean, people are going to be buying the PS5 and the Xbox, whatever it's called, no, regardless, right? But it is a nice little countermeasure. It's the same thing that they did when they released Donkey Kong Country when the PlayStation came out. You know, they had this thing that got them some buzz, and it kept Super NES sales happening. And they were pretty successful at that. I think it makes sense, but at the same time, the logical part of me also says, well, they only announced this thing last year, and I'm not sure it's ready to come out this year. This is a sequel to Breath of the Wild, and I understand that they don't have to build everything necessarily all over again, that they don't have to do quite the same amount of work they did when they were started making a Wii U game and it ended up being a Switch game. So I don't anticipate, like, 5 years like that one.
But that does mean that this game has probably, especially since the main Zelda team wasn't working on Link's Awakening, that does mean that this game has been in development at least since early 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's fully possible it comes out 2020.
It is possible, and I can easily see it slipping. It is a Zelda game, after all, and they tend to slip. Like, how often does a Zelda game release on time, you know? Or when people think it's going to. Those games just tend to slip for whatever reason, and especially since they've gone, if it's going to be as massive as Breath of the Wild was, then it could also slip. If they're using the same, literally the same layout and not too much else to explore, I'll be a little bit disappointed by that, and I highly doubt that's going to be the case. But if it's going to be just as massive, I could see it slip. However, if they're going for something a little more focused, you know, if this is more Majora's Mask kind of quirky little offshoot, and they're going to pack a lot into a small space, kind of like they did with Majora's Mask, then I could definitely see it coming out this year. So it's hard to say, though. Like, I would never bet on Zelda game releases just because those games, of all Nintendo games, tend to get pushed back. And this new style of Zelda game, it seems so complicated that I can easily see them pushing it back. However, I can easily see it releasing towards the end of the year as well, like that being their big November release or something.
Yeah, with all assets built, Animal Crossing well established so as to not cannibalize sales, the end of 2020 seems like the ideal time, and I don't think there's any series that is more called for since we're pretty well off with everything else. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too shocked if it does launch this year. I'll hold off on saying it's one of my most anticipated of the year, though, until they're ready to say it is this year. But, of course, that's up there if it is coming out. There are other titles that have not been announced at all that are heavily rumored and speculated about that I am also pretty excited about, though, Patrick. And I can tell you right now, you should probably pass right over them.
Uh-oh. Which one is it? There's not another Pokemon game coming out,
There's another Pokemon game coming out.
Of course there is.
It's annualized at this point. They've gotten into a rhythm. They've kept up that annualized release schedule. And if word on the Pokestreet is to be believed, then we could be playing remakes of Diamond and Pearl from the DS days by the end of the year. Now, take all of that with a grain of salt, but if that is true, and that is undoubtedly one of my most anticipated games of the Switch, period. I mean, I love Diamond and Pearl so much. It was one of my favorite generations of Pokemon. I can't say it's one of the best ones if I'm looking at it super critically, but in terms of my like sheer love of the thing, it was the real selling point in a franchise where I was, you know, growing up and growing out of it. And then Diamond and Pearl happened and said, nope, this is your thing now. And it's stuck ever since then. So, yeah, I can't wait to experience those again, assuming it's actually not just speculation for speculation's sake. There are rumblings. There are alleged leaks. But how much of that can you trust? I don't know. A lot of the leaks for Sword and Shield proved true. So it's really hard to say. I won't say one way or the other. But if it's true, it is one of my most anticipated.
I have a question for you. If they decide to carry on with the Let's Go franchise, what would logically be the next games to get that treatment? So they basically did Red, Blue, Yellow. What would be the next ones that would come after that?
So logically, you would think Gold and Silver, but therein lies the rub, Patrick. We've been waiting over 10 years for a remake of Diamond and Pearl. That is the next in line for a remake. We got Fire Red Leaf Green back on the Game Boy Advance, which was a remake of Red and Blue. We got Heart Gold Soul Silver on the DS, which was a sensational, one of the all-time best Pokemon games, which was released on the DS. And then we got Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby on the 3DS. Following that pattern and that line of thought, it is Diamond and Pearl's turn on new hardware, which would be the Switch. And if that's the case, that would be excellent. I think that if they were to keep up Let's Go, I think this would be a cool one to go with, but I would also not mind seeing it as a traditional remake. And so that's where Pokemon's put themselves in a weird spot, where they've got this tangential thing that occurred on the Switch last year, and people liked it, and a lot of people want to see more of it. And so then you're like, okay, so do we do Heart Gold, or excuse me, just Gold and Silver on there? Let's go Gold, let's go Silver. Or do you do Let's Go Diamond, Let's Go Pearl? I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm leaning towards make a traditional Diamond and Pearl and also give us a Let's Go Gold and Silver, because the more the merrier. But I don't know if that's a realistic expectation.
I think you know what's going to happen then, because everybody wants Diamond and Pearl and they want it to be traditional. They're going to make the Let's Go, whatever the starters of Diamond and Pearl were. Let's Go Trubbish.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. There were new evolutions introduced in the fourth generation in Diamond and Pearl. So maybe they do give us just Let's Go Pikachu 2, Let's Go Eevee 2, and it just takes place in the fourth generation. Mm-hmm. I would bank more on using the assets from Sword and Shield and rebuilding in the same style as Sword and Shield, with some of the either bringing back some old elements that people want back, like Mega Evolutions. People really like Mega Evolutions, and Game Freak bring back Mega Evolutions, because again, everyone else was getting those except for whatever reason, like the second generation and the fourth generation didn't get their Megas. So it would be cool if they got some more Megas there. But, you know, who's to say? There's no saying. The rumor, since it is, again, pretty heavy speculated and allegedly leaked at this point, the rumor has it that it is in the vein of Sword and Shield. But that could mean good things for the future of Let's Go. Maybe they just aren't ready to make the next Let's Go and we'll get Gold and Silver, because we haven't had one of those in a handful of years either. I don't know, Patrick, I'm not picky. Give me more Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. If it's an annual thing, it's very possible it could happen. I'll tell you, on my, there's no rumors surrounding this game, but in fact, it's gone deadly silent, I would say. But I still anticipate it's got to come out eventually, and it was announced so long ago that it can't be too far off. But as far as the speculation goes, where's Bayonetta 3? That's one of my most anticipated Switch games. And I have to believe that 2020 is the year. I have to believe
that
sometime around August or October or September, we're going to see Bayonetta 3. It makes too much sense. And if this game is truly in development hell and is never, like, another year is a really, really bad sign. I feel like it has to be this year. And, of course, like, I can't wait to see what that game has in store, because even though I didn't really appreciate Astral Chain, and then even went so far as to genuinely hate it at certain points of playing it, I always appreciate the wacky stuff that Platinum does, and especially with the character of Bayonetta. I think that character, that there just weren't any great characters, I don't think, in Astral Chain, and but Bayonetta is such a great character, such a fun, funny character, that I always look forward to seeing what crazy, crazy stuff she can get into. And all the weird, you know, I mean, Platinum's just gonzo. That's what they are. So obviously we all want Bayonetta 3. Man, I really hope we hear something about a release date. At least let them confirm that it's going to be 2020.
Man, a Bayonetta game and a No More Heroes game in the same year. That is a lot of really fun, really redonkulous action and gameplay.
Crude action and gameplay.
Crude game.
Although, I would say Bayonetta is classier than No More Heroes. I don't think that's in debate, right?
I don't think you can debate that.
There's a lot more innuendo going on in Bayonetta than there is in No More Heroes. Is pretty much straight up just delivering you the jokes.
yeah.
The toilet humor, literally, sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bayonetta is more about the innuendo. So I love that about her. Very witty.
Yeah.
Those games are kind of witty in a innuendo heavy game.
Suggestively winky way.
Yes. Highly suggestive, but suggestive nonetheless.
But still appropriate, buy it for your kids. No, don't. but that would be, I think you're right. I do think that is 2020. I think that'll be another solid entry in the Switch's ever-growing library. Do you think that we're going to get some previous entries? We've already got Bayonetta 1 and 2 are already on the Switch, right?
Yeah.
We don't have No More Heroes 1 and 2 on the Switch.
I don't think they'll bring those over, no.
You don't think so?
Nope, I don't think so. I don't think Suda's going to be interested in doing something like that. I'm not sure how they would work on the Switch. I know that they ported... 2 was ported over to the PS3, I believe, was it not?
Yeah, under a different title, yeah.
Yeah, but they also had the Move. I don't know if it worked with just the controller or if you had to have a Move for that. But regardless, I don't think we're going to get a port, no. I think it relied so much, the original Wii version relied so much on motion control, and I honestly think he's gonna have it in there, but I think he's gonna have to design No More Heroes 3 to work with the handheld stuff, and I don't think he's gonna want to do that with the original.
It might be pared down. Yeah. Plus, it's not. I don't know. Are the Joy-Cons as precise? It has all sorts of gizmos and gadgets in there that have made motion controls really accurate for me so far.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because we haven't had I haven't played a game that required precision control like Wii Motion Plus had, you know, like a Skyward Sword or, you know, the Wii Sports Resort or something like that. I haven't played a game like that required it, but obviously it can do a lot of things, as evidenced by 1-2 Switch. So I'm guessing that you can do it fairly well. I've never had any problems. You know, I have used it as a pointer a couple of times. I used it for World of Goo, which I rebought on the Switch here. And,
such a sensational game.
Yeah, I love that game, and I wanted to play it again, so I got it. And, they utilize the controls. You can use it like a Wiimote and use it as a pointer. It's very accurate and responsive. So, but I have no idea whether or not the one-to-one motion thing kind of applies. I don't think you'd need that for No More Heroes, because it never required a Wii Motion Plus, if I remember right.
No, I don't think it did. Did
the second one maybe did.
It had the spin, like you had to slash in the right direction to finish off enemies and all that.
The first one you were able to do that, because a lot of games had that sort of make this slashing motion, and you know, it would pick up well enough. Like it, with the Wii, with the original Wii controller, you just had to make certain motions, and it would pick up those motions just fine. The one-to-one thing was a little bit different. That because Skyward Sword, you didn't need to just make a motion to swing your sword. You actually, the angle you swung it was, you know, it was matching up with your sword. And same with Wii Sports Resort. I don't remember that being the case.
No, I don't think that was the case with No More Heroes.
Yeah, so I think that the Joy-Cons would work fine for that, but do you want to have? But those games were so reliant on that, and would they? How much reprogramming would have to go into it in order to make it so that you could just do push button stuff? And would it be as fun? I'm not sure if that would sort of suit his purposes either, because you know he made that game with motion and control in mind. Would it kind of neuter it to take away that? Obviously, you'd still have all the story and the humor and everything like that, but the gameplay would be possibly a little more boring. So I'm not sure he's willing to do that. But yeah, I do think that we're going to get some ports, more Wii U ports, obviously, than just Xenoblade and Tokyo Mirage.
Would you say we're going to get Wii U Sports?
You know, I think it would be if they could. They need a Wii Sports of some kind, I think, for the
Switch.
What
about Wii Sports 2? Nintendo, go for it.
They'll never use waiting. They won't use the Wii thing again. They'll have to come up with something else. But
Switch ports.
I'm looking forward to seeing, like, if we're gonna just do wild speculation about what could happen, there's gonna be a sports game, and my bet would be golf. Mario Golf is primed to make a comeback. It's been a while since we had a Mario Golf game. The 3DS one was the last one, and that was a while ago, and that was a great game. So I wouldn't be surprised if a Mario Golf game gets announced, you know, and comes out this year. Or some kind of Mario sports game, though, I would imagine. Beyond that, it's really speculative. I don't have a great, you know, everybody always says, oh, this is the year the Pikmin 4 is coming out. No way, man. I think that project died. So I think it was the 3DS game that came out.
I think that probably got canned along the way. Yeah. Like so many other, it was intended to come out. It just didn't, they didn't get around to it. They didn't complete it.
Didn't meet probably, their standards for some reason.
Yeah, they were probably sad to scrap it, but we'll get some of those ideas in the eventual return down the road. Something to look forward to. But you just never know. We did get Luigi's Mansion 3, which dream come true.
We did, but that one wasn't in any sort of, they didn't announce it 10 years ago and then say it was finished 5 years ago. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like that game is just, it was, if it's what Miyamoto was talking about, saying that game was done, how many years ago did he say that game was done? It's not coming out. Like, that, it's just not. So beyond that, I'm not really sure. I'm looking forward to seeing what sort of surprises Nintendo has up their sleeve. I hope they have some surprises. But, you know, there's going to be plenty of indie games to fill in all the gaps. Nintendo's kind of done a pretty good job of releasing a game almost, you know, every month. So I'm going to expect a similar sort of release schedule from them, at least 8 major games this year, don't you think? Like, they didn't skip too many months last year.
They do rely a little bit on their third parties. So, I mean, realistically, you're looking Animal Crossing in the March. I would guess Bayonetta 3 closer to October, thematically appropriate.
Yep. And also, I just think it needs as much development time as it can get.
And then a big franchise, November, maybe Zelda.
November. Something big is always November.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be a new 2D Mario because I feel like that team was probably the one developing Mario Maker. And that kind of fits the bill for a while.
I wouldn't want to speculate on a 3D Mario because, I don't know, I realize it came out in 2017, you know, we're fine, it's 3 years later. And it's very possible they're close. Obviously, they've been in development of their next 3D Mario for some time now. But it would be pretty mind-blowing if... Could they do a Zelda and Mario in the same year again?
I was going to say, unless it is Mario Odyssey 2, I don't think it'll be this year. But even if it is Mario Odyssey 2, I would bank more on it gets announced maybe at the close of the year or maybe midway through the year with an early 2021 release. Could be wrong, but
that seems more likely. But honestly, this is a wide open year, and they're kind of sitting on their cards right now. You know they've got some. It's not like they haven't been planning, and the Switch has been selling well. Everything's going swimmingly for them, so they've got the funds. You know, they're not in a place where they can't afford maybe to go all out on something. They really can. The Switch is doing really well. I think they just crossed the 50 million mark worldwide, so that they're already ahead of the Super NES in lifetime sales. And yeah, I think Nintendo's in a position where this is not when you'd want to have a bad year. You wouldn't want to have a slow year. You got to keep going. You're making money. Keep making money by keep making great games. So I really do expect some things from them this year, but right now they're playing it close to the vest. I think we're going to find out quite a bit in the January Direct. Quite a bit. I think there are going to be some surprises of games that are coming out relatively soon, you know, by the time June rolls around, that we were not expecting. And we may never have even have heard of that were in development. You know, Nintendo has pulled that stuff before. They did it with Super Mario Odyssey, the first one, if I remember right. I know that it had like a little bit of a brief thing in this in the Switch's commercial, but I think they announced did they announce it at E3 and then it was out in October or something like that?
Yeah, it was announced at E3. You could play it, and it came out that year.
Yeah, so and that was a pretty quick like from its announcement, official announcement to being able to buy it. I think we're going to have some similar situations this year where they've held some stuff back. They were letting everything from last year kind of do its thing. You know, Pokemon was a big deal, so they were just letting it have its moment. And the holidays rolled around, Switch did really well. January's time for everybody to sort of be calm and take a, you know, reassess everything. I would imagine we're going to get a Direct that's going to show us how the first half of the year is going to look up until E3. And I think we're going to get a couple of not major. Obviously, this isn't the time when they release their mega franchises, but I think we're going to get some surprises. And this is where I would expect something like a Mario Golf or, you know, whatever.
You know what? Splatoon came out in 2015. Splatoon 2 came out in 2017.
Yeah.
I was kind of kidding, but July, that summer season, Splatoon 3 might be happening. They wrapped up Splatoon 2. They finished all their stuff with it.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So and now I don't know if they want to have two Splatoons on the same console, but it's possible. Yeah.
I mean, I can buy like 30 Call of Duties on one console, so why not?
I know, absolutely. And you know what? Even though I wasn't a huge fan of Splatoon 2, I wouldn't even hesitate to buy Splatoon 3. I mean, I love the gameplay so much that all they needed to do was fix a couple of little things that I had, you know, a little annoyances that I had with that stuff. And especially with some of the side games, and I'd be
Patrick,
good.
Patrick, dream bigger. Nintendo cooperative narrative mode.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I fully expect to get some cool stuff, both in the first half and in the second half of the year. I'm not expecting anything overly major, but you know, a new Kirby game could come along. All these sorts of things could just sort of pop up because development time is not super long on any of these things, and I think they're going to have another solid year with plenty of stuff to do, and I expect there to be some great indies and maybe even some smaller Nintendo games like Box Boy type games. You know, I'm still waiting for
more
my Pushmo. Where's my Pushmo?
Come back, yep. Or so, more Box Boy.
Or I'll always take more Box Boy. I don't know how they're. You know what? I think they need to send Cutie off on his own adventure. Yeah. So. I think we're going to be all right this year, Tim. I'm looking forward to the surprises. We should find out some more stuff fairly soon.
Oh, very soon. And I cannot wait. Here I am, pretty much content with everything we've been given already, but knowing that there's a year full of surprises ahead and a bunch of Nintendo Directs that'll just be announcing games left and right with very little time between the actual announcement and the release, which is again their continued trend. It's going to be such a fun year, and I'm so glad they've managed to keep this all tight-lipped, no leaks, and let's hope that continues. And if you do think about leaking anything, don't, because it's fun not knowing. Anyway, Patrick, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Where can we find you online?
You can always find me at GoombaStomp.com. It's been, you know, we kind of slowed down for the holidays, even though there's still articles coming out. God, there are a ton of lists. Obviously, you got to look at not only end of the year lists for movies, games, anime, TV, but also best of the decade lists. So we put a lot of work into those lists, and there's some really good ones on there. Like we did the 50 best movies, not the 50 best movies of the decade. Did we do 50? Oh my God, I think we did. It was a lot, though. I just remember proofing it. It was an incredible task. So go check out all those year-end lists that we have. But we're already starting to get some anticipatory lists up. Best indies, I think, or most anticipated indies of the year. You know, there's a list that went up recently. You can always find me. I had slowed down after the holidays, took a nice little break. It was nice to kind of not think about writing for a little while, especially after all the editing that was going on. But I'll start kicking into gear pretty soon here, reviewing movies and hopefully getting back to my indie game review habits. Otherwise you can find me on Twitter, also at Sorted Cinema, so tweet any movie stuff at me. We are going to be starting a movie podcast, Ricky D and I, so keep a lookout for that as well. We are resuming the Sorted Cinema movie podcast, I believe. So check the site. It's going to be coming soon.
And which I'm sure I'll show up eventually.
To argue Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to Game Boys, you know the tides have turned. Tim's gone dark side. And
finally, Tim, finally.
Yep. I heard a quote recently about Rise of Skywalker, something along the lines of, a destination so bad it invalidated the entire journey. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate to my sentiments. I don't think I could put it better.
I'm starting an article where I'm advocating killing the franchise for its own good.
I mean, I won't say kill it, because the media outside of the movies is super solid right now. But icing the movies,
yeah,
at least for a while, just let it sit.
They need to be stopped. They are monsters. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, or at least get a vision of anything. I'm Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, MAISON, on Twitter. If you want to debate Star Wars, I welcome it. Bring it on. You can't win, though. Or if you want to talk Pokemon, also, I'm more willing to concede points there, but I do have my fanboy goggles on constantly. No, I feel like I look at it fairly critically, right?
You do.
I like it, but yeah. I look at it pretty critically.
Yeah, you're pretty good about it. You're even-handed on the positive. You're on the positive side, and that's fine. You can be on the positive side. You're pretty even-handed about it, though. You understand the criticisms.
Well, and I will harass them about the things that I do want changed. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
he's a reasonable fellow on Twitter. You should definitely message him, harass him.
Yeah. Or you can listen to my other show, Game Boys, all about co-op and multiplayer, where things often get out of hand and opinionated and obstinate. And you should listen to the most recent episode where we talked about the best games of 2019, and there's a little bit of heat in there about some topics that didn't deserve it, and so it was pretty fun to listen to. So give that a shot if that floats your boat. But beyond that, if you like this show, go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen. We would love a rating and a review. It really goes a long way into providing new opportunities, getting us new codes so that Patrick can continue to give us a brand new indie game every week. And so he's continually burnt out and unable to debate me because he just doesn't have the energy.
Oh my God, it's so true sometimes. Let me continue playing mediocrity.
Yeah, it's our goal for 2020. Mediocrity continues. A new catchphrase for our show, Patrick. The mediocrity continues.
Lasai, as they used to say.
I like it. Let's make that a thing. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with I don't know what yet, but I'm sure it'll be great. Hopefully we'll have some new Nintendo news to talk about here pretty soon. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you then.
We'll be right back.